Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear fellow redeemed, free from sin and slaves to Christ. Oh, how I yearned to be free. It took up every thought of every moment of my day, freedom. And so I ran away. I ran away from my master, seeking freedom, and I ran away to Rome. And I thought there that maybe I could hide myself after all. It seemed half the city's population was slaves. Must have been a million slaves there in Rome. But they were so different than I. They were still in bondage. They were still serving their masters. But I was a runaway. And I couldn't live in peace. I couldn't enjoy my freedom because I wondered if someone would catch me and someone would send me back to my master. While I was there in Rome, I remembered that there was a man who had come to see my master in Colossae, a man by the name of Paul. He was one of those Christians, a good and kind man, much like my master Philemon was. And so I sought him out there in Rome, and I asked if perhaps I could find safety in his household. And he allowed me to remain there. The irony was, as though I was seeking freedom, Paul himself wasn't free. You see, he was in bondage. He was under house arrest. There were Roman guards outside his front door. And yet he allowed me to remain there with him in safety. Remember, while I was there one day, he asked me, "Onesimus, what do you seek most of all?" And I told him, freedom. Freedom is what I seek. But I explained my situation, how even though I sought freedom, I was so nervous to go about freely because I was afraid someone would capture me, someone would send me back. But he told me that I wasn't free. I thought that was so strange coming from him. Who is Paul to say that I wasn't free? After all, look at your own circumstances. If he thought he was free, I told him, just try to go where you want. Just try to leave your own house. But he explained to me, though I thought I was free or that I was seeking my freedom, I really wasn't at all. You see, he explained to me that I was a slave to sin. Slave to sin. It didn't make any sense. But he went on. He went on to explain to me, and he even asked me, he said, well, just try. Try your hardest to do what is right all of the time. See if you can accomplish it. I knew as hard as I tried to do that, I always messed up. I always made mistakes. I always did things that were wrong. Paul went on and told me about his slavery to sin. He said that previous to coming to Rome, he had many years ago been part of this Jewish group known as the Pharisees. And he said that everyone would have said of him and of the Pharisees that they were free from sin because they lived holy and upright lives. Yet he said even while he was a Pharisee, he realized his slavery to sin. It was found in the commandments. He said as he read the command of God, you shall not covet, he began to see his slavery. You see, he thought that he was free from sin, free from stealing, free from harming his neighbor with his hands, free from speaking ill of his neighbor with his lips. When he came across that command, you shall not covet, he realized that God's law required much more than merely obedience in action, obedience in words, but obedience even in thought. And he realized he could not fully control his mind no matter how hard he tried. He realized that he was a slave to sin. And he said the same thing was true for me, that I was a slave to sin. And he said where this would lead. He said the wages of sin is death. And he pointed out the real reason why all men die is because of their own sinfulness that they can't escape. And we want to explain what happens next. that each and every one of us must face God in the judgment. I now became even more concerned for my own physical freedom. I became more concerned than that with my own freedom from sin. And how would I face God in the judgment? But Paul went on. He went on to tell me again, but I am free. How? How could you be free? How could you be free from sin? Well, he told me that someone had purchased his freedom. Oh, what a blessed thought. So many hours and so many days I had wished that someone would purchase my freedom, that someone would pay silver or gold for me, that I would have those legal papers to show that I was a free man. But Paul told me that it wasn't through silver and gold, but through blood that he had been made free. I wondered who would pay such a price. It was then that he told me about Jesus. About Jesus, who is so different than any other man. Jesus, who is not a slave to sin. Jesus, who himself perfectly obeyed God's word and God's commands 100% of the time, not just in action and not just in his words, but also even in his thoughts. In fact, he shared with me about Jesus. He told me what Jesus came to do, that he came to this world, and that in fact he was more than a man. He was the Son of God himself. He lived a perfect and holy life, and he allowed himself to be captured by the Jewish leaders who colluded with the Romans, who sent him to a Roman cross to suffer and die there, though he had done nothing wrong. And I knew what that looked like when I came into Rome and I saw the criminals hung on the crosses. I knew that horror. He said this perfect man, Jesus, suffered that death, but that he did it for him and he did it for me. That he offered his life on a cross to suffer the punishment of all sin, of all people. And Paul went on to also share with me some of Jesus' words. Jesus had said at one time, everyone who continues to sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not remain in the family, but a son remains in the family. And if the son sets you free, then you truly are free. He shared with me some other words of Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He told me some great news, some wonderful news, some amazing news that Jesus had come because God, in his love, sent Jesus to this world to suffer and die for me, and that through faith in him, I could be free. Free from sin, a child of God and an heir of heaven. What good news he shared, and it was that good news that I trusted in, that good news that I believed wholeheartedly. But Paul went on to tell me, he said, now that I know of my freedom from sin, he said, now I serve a new master. Now I serve Jesus. He encouraged me to serve him with my whole life, no matter what I did, to serve the one who purchased my freedom and guaranteed me a place forever with him in heaven. And I endeavored to do just that, to serve Jesus. And so I told Paul that I would serve him in whatever way I can, and in so doing serve my true master. And so I remained there in Rome. I remained there in Paul's household. And he was quite limited as he was growing older, as he was under house arrest, but I could do so much for him, so much to also carry that message of the gospel to others, and I was glad to do it. But one day, Paul called me in to his room, and he sat me down. And he said, Onesimus, I have something to tell you, something to say. You know, I've seen a great difference in you since you first came into my household. How different you are now that you've come to know Jesus and now that you serve him. And I've appreciated everything that you've done for me and everything you've done for the Lord through me. But I want you to do something. I want you to go back to your master. I want you to go back to Philemon. I couldn't believe those words were coming out of his mouth. How could he ask me to do that? Didn't he realize what that would mean for me? Did he realize what happens to slaves that go back to their master? That they're branded on their foreheads, that a fetter is placed around their neck, and words inscribed telling how to return that slave if he ever escapes again? And that was if he went kindly with me. Under Roman law, he had every right to flog me. He had every right to put me to death for what I had done. Didn't Paul know? He said he knew all of that. But he also knew that what I had done was wrong. That I had run away from my master who was good and kind to me. I had stolen from him, my master who had given me authority even in his own household. And I should have waited for the day of my freedom. But instead I ran. He told me that I needed to do the right thing. He needed to do what Jesus wanted me to do. What would you do? What would you do if God told you to do something difficult? If God told you to do something so hard that you could hardly even imagine it? If it meant losing property, if it meant losing relationships, if it meant losing face, would you do it for the sake of Christ? Would you follow his commands, no matter how difficult they might be? Paul encouraged me to do exactly that, to do the right thing. And again, he pointed me to the freedom that I had in Christ, that Christ had set me free from sin. And therefore, there was nothing that I needed to fear, nothing that man or this world could ever do to me and take away my freedom in Christ. And so he encouraged me to do what Jesus wanted me to do, no matter how difficult it was. But he also reminded me of this, who he is sending me back to, Philemon. Philemon, who himself was a Christian. Philemon, who himself had come to know Jesus as his Savior, and Paul told me that he would write a letter. And he'd explain in that letter what had happened, how I had run away, yes, but how I had found Paul, but ultimately how Christ had found me. And how I had come to know Jesus as my Savior. And he'd write in that letter an encouragement to Philemon to receive me back, not as his slave, but as his brother, a fellow brother in the faith. And that for all that I had done wrong against Philemon, Paul would repay. Whatever debt I owed, Paul would pay it to him. He explained how I had served Paul in Rome and how Paul had wanted me to stay there with him, that he didn't want to force Philemon to give me to Paul. But he wanted Philemon to give me to him willingly to serve God and Paul. And so I decided that I would go. That I would go and I would bring that letter that Paul gave to me to Philemon. That letter in which he wrote this: Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. To Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, I have received great joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. For that reason, even though I have plenty of boldness in Christ to order you to do what is proper, I am appealing to you instead on the basis of love. Just as I, Paul, am an old man and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I am appealing to you on behalf of my child, Onesimus. I became his father while I was in chains. There was a time when he was useless to you, but now he is useful both to you and to me. I have sent him, who is my very heart, back to you. Welcome him. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might serve me in your place while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that your kindness would not be the result of compulsion, but of willingness. Perhaps this is why he was separated from you for a while, so that you would have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but as more than a slave, as a dear brother. He certainly is dear to me, but he's even more of a dear brother to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. And if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, have written this with my own hand. I will repay it, not to mention that you owe me your very self. Yes, brother, I am asking for a favor from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen.